Blog Talk Radio.
All right, we have another fabulous Before You Go Pro locker room session. Definitely glad to be back in touch with you guys. Always when I have a chance to feed into young athletes, whenever Before You Go Pro has the opportunity to feed into young athletes, it's something that we would love to take advantage of. It's exciting, it's fun, and couldn't think of anything better to do. So definitely glad for everybody who has the time to tune in tonight. For those who don't, then maybe they can see or get to hear the recorded version of what we've got in store. But we got a great show in store for everybody tonight. The topic of tonight's show is the blessing and curse of an ego. And we all have it. And some of us have a little bit of a bigger ego than others. And for some of us, you know, maybe our ego is taking a little bit of a hit. And for others, maybe you're on top. But it's something that we have to be aware of. As athletes, it's something that we have to be able to manage and control. And it's something that can be an asset for you if, once again, you're aware of it and you know what it's all about. So the blessing and curse of an ego. We are going to start having our BYGP locker room sessions every Tuesday and Thursday night. Eventually, it will evolve into many more sessions as we bring on many more kids. But to kind of bring about some normalcy and some continuity between the kids' schedules and then also our company schedule, we're going to do the locker rooms every Tuesday and Thursday night. Now, the time may fluctuate, but you can, for the most part, count on the time being between 7 and 8 p.m. So on Thursday night, we have a special guest, one of our Before You Go Pro kids, Aaron Criswell, who is currently a Division 1A wide receiver at UNLV. University of Nevada, Las Vegas. So we'll have young Aaron come into the locker room on Thursday. He's got some great info for you guys, some words of wisdom. He's currently in a Division 1A football season. Unfortunately, UNLV just lost to Fresno State, but the team is still pumped up and has a good shot to get a bowl bid this year. So it'll be fun to have Aaron come into the locker room on Thursday night. And that will be at 8 p.m. So tune in for that one if you have the time. But let's talk about the blessing and curse of an ego. And this was actually something that I wrote upon for the book and have done some blogs, some online blogs for as well. And it was actually a topic that got a lot of response from people on the web and people who just liked the topic. Like, they thought it was an interesting topic and they could see the relativity behind it. So the blessing and curse of an ego. Now, your ego, according to the dictionary, is a person's sense of self-esteem. It's your self-importance, how you feel your mark is on the world. You know, do you feel like you're somebody that people need to pay attention to, or are you somebody that traditionally kind of gets brushed aside? So once again, a person's self-esteem or their self-importance. Now, here is the interesting thing about someone's ego. The ego, for the most part, is shaped by your outside perception. So a lot of times, you know, 99% of the time, you see people shaping their ego based upon how other people view them or how other people see them. And what you'll find is that that ends up being a roller coaster ride. You know, people are finicky. People are emotional. People may feel great about you one day and may not feel so hot about you the next day. And obviously, when you're an athlete, you know, you're only as good as your last game. So when you're an athlete, You know, say you're a Colin Kaepernick. When you're taking the Niners to the Super Bowl, people are loving you, and they're tweeting good things. Things in Twitter world are happy. But when you're struggling against a Seattle Seahawks team that traditionally pushes you up and down the field, then things aren't so sweet. And for somebody with a very sensitive ego, somebody that really, really tends to put all their self-worth in other people's opinions, then that's somebody that's going to go traditionally on a roller coaster ride, especially for an athlete, because people are bandwagon people. You know, whether I'm paying in front of 80,000 people in, a Super Bowl, or I'm playing in front of 600 people or 500 people at a high school or junior college game, people are forming their perception of me as I play. And I cannot afford to base my opinions of myself on their perception. You have to get things to the point where you feel, no matter if you had a tough game or a great game, your feelings about how you are as an athlete stay in neutral for the most part. They stay in middle ground. If I'm an athlete that has a hell of a game, I don't want to feel like I'm the best thing since sliced bread. Because if you feel like you're the best thing since sliced bread, then that's probably on the end of the poll how you'll feel when you throw three interceptions. So you don't always want to base, once again, your self-worth on other people's perception. You want to stay middle grounded. But then on the other hand, that ego has to be strong enough for you to survive in the game of football. As we said in our last talk, you guys, and what we try to do is, for those of you who are new to the call, we want to do one before you go pro locker room, which is an interview. It's from somebody who has been there and done that, lived it, and wants to give back. And then we want to do another before you go pro locker room that is a teaching point. And if you look at our last couple teaching points, one was the cost of bad judgment, and the other one was seizing the moment. And then obviously tonight we have the blessing and curse. But if you don't have a strong enough ego, once again, someone's self-esteem and their self-confidence, their self-importance, if you don't have that intact, if that is something that is not strong, you will not survive in big-time football. I hate to break it to you. As we said in our last talk, this isn't patty cakes. This isn't the sticker club. This is a game that is a violent game, and it is played by tough people who have very, very strong egos. Part of the reason that they have strong egos has allowed them to endure the competitions and the rigors of the game they play. You have to feel to a certain degree that you're the baddest person out there if you're going to be playing on Sundays in the NFL. If you don't feel like you're the baddest person out there, or that you're on your way to being the baddest person out there, then you will not last long on Sundays in the NFL. You can go play in some amateur league. But there's a fine dance that's played, and you see some of them that are the best of them who are able to play the dance between, yes, I'm confident, and I feel like I'm the baddest thing out here, but I'm not overly confident where I'm looked at as cocky. Because what you guys will find along your journey to get a college scholarship, maybe to even make the high school varsity team, is that the guys who are given the opportunities are the guys who are well-liked. And there's only two ways to be well-liked. You either got to be making big-time plays, or you have to navigate things where people feel like giving you a chance. You know, in today's world, who are we selling? We're selling ourselves. I don't put you on the field as your coach unless I feel confident that you're going to make plays, or if I'm not really sure if you're going to make plays, that I like you. I feel like you've been listening to me. I feel like you've been watching film. I feel like you know your playbooks. You're doing the things that make me like you. So until I have a resume of what you can do, then the kids who don't have a resume and that get a chance to hit the field are the kids that are well-liked. And nobody likes somebody that's cocky. You know, at first you may take somebody that's cocky as somebody that may be joking, or you brush it off a little bit. But I'm telling you, a coach does not want somebody that is constantly consumed with themselves. You know, we're not boxing. We're not running track. I love Usain Bolt as much as the next man, but we're not running track. We're playing football. We're playing the ultimate team sport. And if you were consumed with yourself, then how can I count on you to be your brother's keeper on the football field? But it's contradictory because I want you to be the baddest person out there. And to be the baddest person out there, you got to have a very, very high opinion of yourself. So it's crazy that sometimes the things we need to excel in some people's cases can end up being their downfall. And that's exactly what I want to talk about, because you see it in today's athletes where the ego gets out of control. You know, it's not held in account. It's not held in the right perspective, where basically the ego begins to take over the person, as crazy as that sounds, you guys. You know, you'll even deal with it with your own family members. You know, you'll have your little brother talk to you crazy one day, and you'll look at him like, who do you think you are? Or you'll have you'll be acting up, and maybe you talk to mom or dad a crazy way, and they're looking at you like, boy, I brought you into this world, and you know I can take you out. So sometimes our ego gets out of whack. Now, here's the thing about being an athlete. The thing about being an athlete, you guys, is that you get your butt kissed. I got my butt kissed, and I'm sure you guys have experienced it as well. And what happens when you get your butt kissed, whether it's from the general school population, whether it's from writers, whether it's from a television anchor, whether it's from the ladies that you like to look at, when you get your butt kissed, then your head tends to get a little bit bigger. And we tend to get into the realm of we think we can do nothing wrong. We've all been there. You know, Coach Wood is talking to you from a stance of being a veteran at having my ego at times be a curse rather than a blessing. And what happens is you get checked. When you get your ego out of perspective, either you're going to get checked by maybe your coach or a teammate, or what's going to happen is you're going to be talking so much smack that eventually when you have a game that's not so hot, people tend to jab back at you. And you see it all the time, unfortunately, with these athletes. I know that you guys are currently probably seeing some slides scroll around of guys who have unfortunately had to experience this. Guys who are fabulous players, and they're probably great people if you met them off the field. But for whatever reason, you know, the ego got out of control. And two of the people that I know you guys can see on the slide and are familiar with are Terrell Owens and Chad Johnson. Actually, were teammates at a certain time with the Cincinnati Bengals. These are guys, you guys, that we have seen make exceptional plays. Not good plays, not okay plays, not great plays, exceptional plays on an NFL football field. Multimillionaires, first option receivers at times, perennial all pros and pro bowler. So guys who have had, you know, a 1,000 yards plus seasons, you know, so these are exceptional athletes. And once again, what did I say? Exceptional athletes tend to get what? Their butts kissed. And if you're on SportsCenter every night, boy, you haven't had your butt kissed like being on SportsCenter every night. So what happens is you get a Chad Johnson turning into a Chad Ochocinco, and you get a Terrell Owens turning into a T.O. And what happens is you should have two separate people. You should have the person that hits the stage on Sundays in front of thousands of fans, and then the person who goes home to his family, whether he's got kids and a wife, or you know, his mom and his father, or girlfriend, and can be a cordial person and a person that you can relate to off the field, somebody that you want to be around off the field. But what happens is, and once again, you guys realize that I'm raising my hand as somebody that has been a perpetrator of this. What happens is you end up taking that ego. You end up taking that personality. You end up taking all that bravado that you have on the field, and you end up displaying the same type of traits off the field. And what happens is you get to a point that you're annoying, you're arrogant, you're conceited, you're overconfident, and people don't want to be around you or afford you the same opportunity. And a lot of times it's a far fall from grace. When you do fall from grace, if you were known as the cocky, arrogant, egotistical player, oh, it's a fall from grace. So just know that what you need between your ears as far as mentally and just confidence-wise is something that is critical to you being a great player at the high school level, the college level, and the NFL level. But if you can't manage it, then it's something, once again, that can be your downfall. You know, me as a former player, I can think about the guys that fell into this category, guys that were great players, but people didn't want to be around them off the field. And you didn't want to give those guys a second shot because you were tired of hearing them talk about themselves. You were tired of their overinflated egos. So, you know, it's cool when you're producing, but when you're not, it's not going to be sweet for that type of person. Now, once again, society fuels the ego, though, which is part of my issue with guys getting too much exposure before they're ready for it. You guys know as well as I know that the game has gotten to the point where now, especially with the recruiting wars going on, that guys get promoted younger and younger. Currently, there are guys who have scholarship offers in the eighth grade. Now, these kids are phenoms by all accounts. And if you're a phenom, you're a two percenter. If you're a phenom, you know by now. So these kids are phenoms. So granted, they are probably going to be worthy of the scholarships that they're already receiving when they're of age. But when you're 13, you're not of age to even sign off on a scholarship. So part of my problem is that you're bringing exposure to these kids at such a young age that I don't really see the benefit of it. If the kid cannot sign off and take advantage of that scholarship at the age you're offering him, and then he's just getting publicity from it and more people paying attention to him from it and more expectation from it, how does that benefit the kid? You know, and we do have a number here. It's where you can call in, and please feel free to, if you want to talk about this topic or if you battled with, you know, dealing with keeping your ego in check and not mouthing off to coaches and being somebody that's listened and is coachable. The number is 310-807-5195, and feel free, and you're welcome to chime in. Please do. But with the kids who are currently being recruited in the eighth grade, one kid by the name of Devin Moss, he's currently actually now a freshman in high school. The kid has scholarship offers from every school anybody would want to be recruited by. Alabama, LSU, Washington, everybody in the country is after this kid who is on varsity but has not even finished his first year of varsity football. So, you know, we pray for young Dylan, and hopefully, you know, he can stay healthy and really one day sign off on that scholarship offer that he has years early. But God forbid something happens to him where he is not the same product he is projected to be when he is of age. It's going to be interesting to see if that scholarship is still there. Now, while we wait to find that out, Dylan is being bombarded. He's being bombarded by magazines to do covers. He's being bombarded by ESPN to do interviews. He's being bombarded by teammates that want to hug close to him. He's being bombarded by opponents that want to get after him. He's being bombarded. And hopefully he's keeping his ego in check. From all accounts, it seems like the kid comes from a great family, and they are working with him to make sure that he knows he has to continue to work hard to really be able to sign off on that scholarship one day. But for a kid that might not have such a great family structure, for a kid that might not be as strong mentally as Dylan seems to be, Devin, his name is Devin Moss, then there may be an issue where the ego's out of control. If I'm in the eighth grade and I already got scholarships to the University of Alabama, do I really need to listen to my head coach at the high school level? I already got the scholarship. The kid who listens is the kid who has his ego in check. The kid who messes up and gets yelled at by a coach but doesn't retaliate is the kid who has his ego in check. The kid who rushes for four touchdowns and 400 yards in a game, and every newspaper in his area wants to interview him, but he's still doing his homework. He's still coachable. He's still listening to his parents, is the kid who has his ego in check. And this is more critical than ever before, you guys, because once again, it's a double-edged sword. You need your ego to be strong because you need to be able to compete. And you can't compete if you've got a weak ego, if you've got weak self-confidence. But it's a double-edged sword because society is going to feed into kissing your butt and telling you you're a superstar. And for those of you who are fortunate enough to have options as far as getting recruited, that's going to be a butt-kissing fest of school telling you they love you. I wasn't strong enough at 18 years of age to keep my ego in check. My personal ego, when I was in college playing at the University of Colorado, my ego didn't let me fight for my job the way I should have. I had got a raw deal, you guys. I was leading the country in interceptions after the first two games of the season. I had two, so I was tied for the lead in the country for interceptions. And I got both of those interceptions the first game of the season. Had a little bit of a rough game, my second game versus USC and Carson Palmer, which is now the quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals. So much where a coach who was waiting to replace me before the game was even over. And I was having a rough game, but by no means was I losing the game for the team. I think we ended up losing the game by 3 points. But my point is, I got a raw deal with the way I was replaced by a redshirt freshman when I was a junior. And my ego was too big where I felt like if I were to fight for my job or to have a nice conversation with the head coach after the game, a cordial conversation pleading my case, that I was going to be butt-kissing him. That was beneath me. If he didn't like me, then oh well, I didn't care about it anyway. You know, all of these egotistical things that were coming into my head, which didn't allow me to properly approach this coach and tell him, hey, I'm your guy. I want out there. Tell me what I got to do. My ego was in the way. And I know for many of us, our ego gets in the way when we're going about our journey. And the ego cannot be that strong where it's destructive to you, where you think you're better than people, where you think you don't have to do the things that others have to do. So I'm going to leave you guys tonight with some food for thought. And this is kind of a ways to try to keep your ego in check. First and foremost, you always have to understand what your power source is. Your power source is whether it's spiritual, whether you're a spiritual person or not. For me personally, it's God. So your power source is the thing that allows you to have the magnificent athletic ability you have. It allows you to have the opportunities that you get. So that will allow you to keep your ego in check because you know it's not all from you. Also, keep great people around you, people that know the real you, that can hold you in check when you're acting a little funny. The third thing is don't get caught up in your own press clippings. It's great to cut out, you know, your press clippings or watch the YouTube videos, but don't get caught up thinking you're the best thing since sliced bread. The last thing is, you know, study what will make you better. All of us have ways to get better. Study the things that you're not so good about so you always know that there's room for improvement. So hopefully you guys got some great info tonight. We're literally about to launch Before You Go Pro Live. So many more kids are going to be on these calls. We're going to launch Film Room Session at the end of this week, and we will be launching our book soon. So love you guys all to death. Hopefully you got a lot out of tonight, and I will see you at the top before you go pro.